Yeah, hi, Eileen. So thanks for joining us. Welcome to our Spotlight on Members project. And we're going to spend a little bit of time together talking about a few things about the Dharma and how you came to the Dharma and things.
Thank you for inviting me. My pleasure.
Yeah, cool. Good. So we'll just jump right into it. So tell us, how is it that you came to the Dharma, to the Buddhist study and practice path?
Boy, lucky student. After a couple of years at Albany State University, I thought there must be more to life than this. I came to Boulder, invited by a friend, my freshman roommate, actually. And one of the first people I met was Michael Miller at the Titanic Co-op, which was Marpa House in a few years' time. So Michael and I are going on almost 50 years, hanging out for a year to get resident tuition. And 1973, I began studying with Trungpa Rinpoche. I was involved in the first Naropa gatherings and on the path.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bit of refocusing after his death, studying with various other teachers, Trungpa Rinpoche and Khandro Rinpoche, who I found very interesting. The difference between having studied Dharma with someone who teaches in English, Trungpa Rinpoche teaches in Tibetan, so that was a more challenge. And Khandro Rinpoche, a woman teacher, was very interesting in those early days. So Michael had attended some talks with the Dzogchen Phuma Rinpoche, and he encouraged me to check him out, and I did.
What year is that, roughly?
That was probably early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Was Michael already studying with Rinpoche?
He had gone to several talks, and he was involved in Maiden School, which was the sort of Natarte Institute of the Vajradhati Sangha. And Rinpoche gave some talks there, and he was at Naropa. So he was, you know, around and available. Mm-hmm. And like I said, having investigated other teachers and sort of looking to reconnect with a Dharma path that made more sense and connected more deeply. Rinpoche was there.
So did you go to like a weekend teaching, or how did you remember that part?
I went to some talks that he gave, a program at the Karma Dzong, mm-hmm. and some talks at Naropa, that kind of thing. Then Michael mm-hmm. ended up going to Treasury of Knowledge various times, which wasn't available to me because I was teaching full-time as a teacher and, you know, taking a week off of children to tell them you wanted to study Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
A little much, so that didn't mm-hmm. happen to me right away.
Yeah. But, so kind of a long history with Buddhism. So early days studying with Trungpa Rinpoche up mm-hmm. until he passed on. And kind of a gap with some teachers, and then connecting with Phonop Rinpoche in early 2000. Uh-huh. Yeah. Was Michael kind of leading the way?
yeah, just in terms of his undergrad days, which we coincided, he was a religious studies major and had come to Boulder. He was actually looking for a Zen teacher, but the only game in town was some crazy Tibetan Buddhism. So he went for mm-hmm. that. And that sort of, you know, was interested as well, and it was right there.
Mm-hmm.
And the first Naropa, you know, just a year or two later. And it was an exciting time. And I feel so blessed to have studied with some of the foremost teachers of Buddhism in the 20th
century. Indeed. Yeah, we're lucky in that way for sure. Yeah. And as I remember, You and Michael were up at RMDC, up at Rocky Mountain Dharma Center, in those early days too, weren't you?
Not at the same time.
Hmm.
But yes, Michael and I were hanging out together. I went up with him that summer to the first Dutton. He sat the first Dutton, and I investigated the land and sort of met some people, hung out a little bit. And then I, at the end of that, there was the second Dutton, which was in the fall. First Dutton was July, August, actually more like August. And then they took a break, regathered, and the second Dutton was September, October.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat that Dutton and then came back down. We did Naropa gatherings and
yeah. Yeah, a lot of history there. Yeah. So with all that history, do you have a favorite Dharma teaching that you kind of go to? As Douglas likes to say, it's kind of your North Star that kind of guides you?
Well, you know, I am by no means a scholar in the study of Buddhism. I have never thought that. And the practice realm has always been my preference, meditation and action. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, coming across the Lodron teachings of Mahayana, mm-hmm. was quite enlightening upon a Buddhist path. The points of mind training to me seem so applicable to life. They parallel the paramitas. They offer quick and pithy slogans to remind me about the teachings. You know, they begin with regard all dharmas as dreams. And in post-meditation, be a child of illusion,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, it's the beginning of the ultimate bodhicitta teaching. So.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lodron teachings include Tonglen and the practice of sending and taking, helping us connect with compassion and relative bodhicitta. And I think my favorite slogan would be grateful to everyone.
That's a good one. Yeah, yeah, so if you can carry that into the world, that's really good.
Yeah, a lot of things. And it helps me with constantly flashing back to the small silver linings of this COVID crisis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with constantly questioning what's next and what are we going to do and how is our life going to unfold. I flash back to, well, there's less traffic and driving is an ultimate teaching for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, more time for walks and connecting with people I hadn't heard from or talked to, discovering Zoom. So, yeah, be grateful to everyone. You could maybe extend it to be grateful to everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, constantly reminding myself.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciation and
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And for, you know, the smallest things, like I said, less
traffic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you said, they match the paramitas too. So you're kind of practicing the six paramitas while you're practicing the slogans and mind training too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I love being able to flash on a slogan or, you know, Pema has done a lot of work with the Lodron.
Mm-hmm.
And I had her little slogan cards for a while. Mm-hmm. I used to, you know, pick one for the day and that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. I really appreciate the Lodron teaching. And, you know, discovering that was really exciting.
Yeah.
And meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's kind of talking about how things are going right now. With the pandemic and with, you know, helping with Michael's cancer and all those treatments and all that, that's been going on since when? Last October, November kind of time frame, yeah.
Yeah, like 10 months.
We've been 10 months, yeah.
This, when the pandemic came alive. And I actually took some solace in the pandemic, realizing that everyone was screwed and miserable. So my experience with, you know, sharing cancer, it became much more palatable in some ways. And then, oh my gosh, in April, mid-April, we had like 2 feet of snow and 12 degrees. And that was unbelievable. And then we've had 90 plus degrees for weeks and weeks with really no summer to speak of. Oh, and wildfires were missing. And now a 60 degree temperature change from 90 degrees to 30 degrees in 24 hours.
Yeah. So with our garden.
Surprise.
Yeah, exactly. And not always good news, since our garden's going to get, and our trees get clobbered. Looking out my back window, you can kind of see the snow back out there at 5 o'clock at night or so. Yeah. Yeah, we had some friends over.
Yikes.
Yeah, we had some friends over, and their daughter has cancer. And so we're just talking again about 2020, and we raised the toast to better days. Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things you do is you do flowers. So how did that, so, you know, maybe we could spend some more time, some other time doing that, but that's got to be some tie into your, to your practices and how you look at the world, and it is a practice itself, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I mentioned, you know, my sort of affinity was always the realm of practice and meditation and action, particularly being such a karma kind of person. So contemplative arts, you know, also discovery of the Dharma arts was also very exciting for me. One of Trungpa's sort of offerings. And really working with the sort of aspects of creativity and where that comes from. And Trungpa's sort of insistence that we're all artists. It comes down to, you know, how you put your food on your plate, or when you get dressed in the morning, or whatever you may choose to do is an expression of, of who you are and your particular mind state at that time. So being able to work with Ikebana and the discipline of flower arranging, which is certainly there. I mean, it's sort of like any Eastern study. It has levels of study path. And, but then there's also, you know, a freestyle and a very expressive aspect to it as well. So I've enjoyed that a lot. And
have you been able to keep up with some of that during this pandemic time?
Well, you know, I it's like anything we do on the path and practice, I've found there's slumps, you know, this year has certainly been a big one, but I get pulled back in pretty regularly. I'm on the board of directors of Sogetsu Colorado, which is my flower school, and constantly working to present workshops, invite teachers, keep the practice out there, and being able to present to others, just like the body.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so you've been teaching classes up in Landa Bodhi for a couple of years or so, maybe longer, I don't know, but.
Yeah.
It's been nice to see you up there on Friday afternoons with your students and the flowers, all these fresh flowers lying around, yeah.
Yeah.
And then what's really nice are to see the arrangements after it's all said and done too. So I'll say that, yeah, in Landa Bodhi, Colorado, Landa Bodhi Boulder's been very fortunate that you've been involved with this, because we have been benefited by your beautiful flower arrangements and your care for taking care of the shrine room. Yeah, it's been very nice.
Yeah, so slump there in terms of actually arranging flowers. I always feel like it's the old adage, you know, it's the shoemaker's children who have no shoes. I never have a flower arrangement in my house, but I often offer them for others, and you know, on the shrine every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's been, well, we're neighbors, so it's been nice to actually receive a few of your arrangements on our front porch as a little thank you for something we've done. So it's been very sweet to receive those that way, Eileen. It's been great. Yeah, cool. Well, thanks for spending some time with us. And I think we'll see how things go. It might be worthwhile to come back sometime and hear some more about the, you know, the practice of Ikebana and flower arranging and what you've done with
that. I would love to share.
Yeah, it's a big part of your life, I assume. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll sign off. So thank you again.
All right. Thanks for listening. All right. Bye-bye.
We'll be in touch.
Okay.
Okay.